coming to you from deep inside the vaults of the Holmes Archive of Electronic Music. I am Tom Holmes, your curator and guide to vintage electronic music and audio experimentation. This episode, when computer music was experimental. Early recordings of computer synthesis, 1951 through 1971. Electronic music is often called computer music, but there was a time when the practice of synthesizing music directly from a computer was a new technique and largely experimental. Early computer music required large-scale computers made by such companies as IBM, Olivetti, Honeywell, and DEC, plus the invention of music programming languages suited specifically for these computers. These factors made computer music largely out of reach of the established electronic music community and only available to those associated with institutional computer centers and corporations. In this episode, we'll explore the first two decades of computer music. This was a period of transition from the experiments of computer technicians to the more fully formed works of composers. For this podcast, I'm going to read out the descriptions of the tracks before I play them so that you have an idea beforehand what you're going to be listening to. The first set of tracks we're going to listen to include the following. Track number one is the world's first undisputed computer to play music. It was called the CSIR Mark I, and it was at the University of Melbourne's Radiophysics Division in Sydney, Australia. This was in the spring of 1951. The computer had a speaker, or hooter, to signal when operations were completed. Mathematician Jeff Hill programmed the unit to produce simple melodies using these signal tones. This recording is about a minute long and features four short melodies. Track number two. The famous British mathematician Alan Turing was also working on primeval computer music in the summer of 1951. I am going to play a recording made of some tones generated by the mainframe computer at the Computing Machine Laboratory in Manchester, England. Snippets of the tunes God Save the Queen, Baa Baa Black Sheep, and Glenn Miller's swing classic In the Mood are all heard, plus the voices of computer lab members and the BBC Outside Broadcast Unit while listening to the sound being reproduced. These original acetate recordings were from 1951 and were restored by University of Canterbury composer Jason Long and Professor Jack Copeland. This recording is about 2 minutes long.
Not enjoying this. It's gone on strike a bit. Let me know when I should lift Jim, I think. Another tune coming up. another one coming up. Keep on cutting. Machine's obviously not in the mood. I lift him. Okay, Jim.
Next up, after a short interlude by a Bell Labs narrator, we'll hear several works from this revered institution located in America. In the late 1950s, Max Matthews was the computer scientist running the behavioral and acoustical research departments at Bell Telephone Laboratories in Murray Hill, New Jersey. His boss was John Pierce, and it was John's opinion that the experimental work they did there was more about sound than about the creation of good music. Max himself was not so much a composer as a keen engineer, although he did play the violin and understood many of the challenges of creating musical sounds digitally. They worked primarily with the mainframe computers made by IBM, such as the Series 7090. Matthews also brought in analog-to-digital and digital-to-analog converters to transform the digital representation of sound directly from a computer. Matthews had a top-notch programmer on his staff named Joan Miller, who collaborated with him on several series of their MusicX program, a musical programming language that was upgraded over the next 20 years and also converted to other computer operating systems. She is often cited as a collaborator on many of his early demonstration works. As the computational aspects of making computer music became more manageable, Matthews hired some actual composers to his staff. The first was James Tenney around 1960, and in 1968, Jean-Claude Risset, a Frenchman who had a background in acoustic engineering. After the opening narrator, we will hear Beat Cannon by Dr. J.R. Pierce from 1960. This is from the album Music from Mathematics, Bell Telephone Laboratories. The record came with two black and white photographs of the IBM 7090 computer and a 24-page booklet. Pierce was Max's boss. Next, we will hear Numerology by Max Matthews and Joan Miller from 1960. This is also from the album Music from Mathematics. This was an early experiment in using a general-purpose computer to program music and digitally synthesize musical sound. Their programming language, Music One, allowed composers to design their own virtual instruments, which was a breakthrough during these pioneering days of computer music. Numerology was composed to demonstrate the various parameters or building blocks available to the composer using this programming language. Elements such as vibrato or frequency modulation, attack and decay characteristics, glissando, tremolo, which is amplitude modulation, and the creation of new wave shapes. The third track in this set is Noise Study by James Tenney from 1961, and it really does have a contemporary sound by today's standards. The final track in this set will be Bicycle Built for Two, Unaccompanied and Accompanied, from 1963. This is from a demonstration record produced by Bell Labs called Computer Speech. This recording contains synthesized speech, speech artificially constructed from the basic building blocks of the English language. Something like this was used in the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, in 1969, as HAL was being shut down and he returned to his computer speech origins.
Incidentally, synthesizing music on a computer is almost as formidable as making a computer talk.
Here is Beat Cannon. Thank you.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer to. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage. But you look sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two.
The computer now sings the same tune, but to a musical accompaniment played by another computer.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer to. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage. But you look sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two.
After that first era of computer music, which lasted until around 1963, the next age became much more sophisticated as musicians and engineers alike began to collaborate more on the making of music with computers. The computers were the same. They were hulking machines housed in air-cooled computer centers, but the programming was branching out and engineers began to collaborate more with composers. In addition to Bell Labs, there were several other companies and universities involved in computer music during this time. We will hear from several of them. The first track in this set is a segment from Computer Cantata, which was composed in 1963 by Laharan Hiller. This is from the album Computer Music from the University of Illinois. This work employed direct computer synthesis using an IBM 7094 mainframe computer and the MusicComp programming language developed by Hiller. The second track in this set is Lyric Variations for Violin and Computer, composed by J.K. Randall in 1965 through 1968. It is from the record A Mitzvah for the Dead for Violin and Tape on Vanguard. J.K. Randall's piece had a complex section that pushed the limits of computer processing power at the time. The section consisted of only 12 notes. Each note was 20 seconds long. Each note overlapped with the next for 10 seconds, making the total length of the section only about 2 minutes. But this required 9 hours to process on one of the fastest computers of the day. Listen for these long, drawn-out notes. Next, we move on to Italy and the experiments being done by composer Pietro Grossi with an Olivetti computer. Both of the short works heard here are from a 7-inch record distributed by Olivetti in 1967 as a New Year's gift. The pieces are Permutation of Five Sounds and Mixed Paganini, both from 1967.
Oh.
The next set includes 6 tracks with even more variety. Another work from the University of Illinois is Harpschord by John Cage and Laharon Hiller, begun in 1967 and presented live in 1968. The piece was written for harpsichords and computer-generated sound tapes. Hiller and Cage staged a live public performance in 1968 at the University of Illinois in Urbana. The first 10,000 individual recordings came with an insert in the form of a computer printout designed to allow the listener to program their own performance while playing the record. And I quote from the jacket, "The computer output sheet included in this album is one of 10,000 different numbered solutions of the program Knobs. It enables the listener who follows its instructions to become a performer of this recording of harpsichord. Preparing of this material was made possible through the Computing Center of the State University of New York at Buffalo." We go to the UK for the next track, "January Tensions" by Peter Zinoviev. This was computer performed and composed in his private studio outside of London. This excerpt from the piece is from 1968. With the goal of eliminating tape editing, Zinoviev believed that the best way was to jump headfirst into the digital age. He purchased an American-made DEC PDP-8, the same kind of minicomputer used in business and for scientific applications. His was one of the first in a private residence and cost roughly £5,000. He said that was like the cost of a small house. He and his engineer partner, David Cockrell, wrote programs for the computer for editing and sequencing sounds. What the two had accomplished was to introduce the computer as a control and memory device for storing and playing sounds. This was hardly an affordable solution for most artists because of the cost and the training needed to operate a mini computer. The electronic music industry didn't really catch up with what this team had accomplished for another 10 or 12 years once the cost of computing gear became much lower. It was with this kind of gear that January Tensions was created. The next track is Synthesism from 1970 by Bell Labs veteran Barry Virko. This is from the album Computer Music, released on Nonesuch. Realized in the computer centers of Columbia and Princeton universities using Music 360, a programming language for the IBM 360 adapted by Virko from Max Matthews and Joan Miller's Music 2 or 3 programming language. The fourth track is Wishful Thinking About Winter by Wayne Slauson from 1970. This was also produced at Bell Labs, and it's from the album Voice of the Computer, New Musical Horizons. The fifth track is an updated version of the Canon piece by John Pierce that we heard earlier. 8-tone Canon was done in 1970, and this is also from the album Voice of the Computer. The final track in this set is Computer Suite from Little Boy, composed in 1970 by Jean-Claude Risset. This is also from the album Voice of the Computer, and it was produced at Bell Labs. Thank you.
Let's. Go. Out. Through. The new. We go.
We will conclude this musical panorama of early computer music with an excerpt from The Earth's Magnetic Field by Charles Dodge, which will bring us up to the year 1971. Composer Charles Dodge helped close the gap between computer music and other electronic music practices in 1969 and 70 by working on computer code at Princeton University and then traveling to Bell Labs to have the code synthesized by a mainframe computer. Dodge realized this piece by fusing computer composition with synthesis. He used a general-purpose sound synthesis program written by Godfrey Winham at Princeton University. We will conclude this set with another short excerpt from the album Music from Mathematics.
Most of the mathematically derived music on this record was produced as a byproduct of scientific research in communications. One aspect of this work involves programming computers to simulate all types of sounds. In closing, we asked our electronic maestro to say a few words. It was taught to speak by Drs. John Kelly and Louis Gerstmann of Bell Laboratories, who programmed into the computer the necessary descriptions of the sound waveforms. So, from all of us musically minded mathematicians, both human and electronic, the computer says,
thanks for listening.
For more information about early computer music and these pioneers, see chapters 26 and 27 in my book, Electronic and Experimental Music, 6th edition, published in 2020 by Routledge. Next is the archive mix, in which I play two additional tracks at the same time to see what happens. The first track is Capriccio No. 5 by Pietro Grossi. It consists of computer-synthesized sound and was recorded in 1967. The next track, played at the same time, is Pitch Variations by Newman Gutman from 1960. This was produced at Bell Labs. In this case, I'm playing the piece twice, end to end, because it literally is half as long as the Grossi piece. All of the music heard on this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, comes from the Holmes Archive of Electronic Music, a curated collection of vintage vinyl recordings. All crackles, surface noise, and other imperfections are purely intentional. All intro, outro, and other incidental music is by Tom Holmes. For a complete playlist, go to theholmesarchive.podbean.com. So long from deep inside the Holmes Archive of Electronic Music.